Nicely with Martin Besser.
We're all excited, and Felicity, I know you're also super excited every time we have the good professor on the show, Gerard Labuschagne. Thanks for coming back. Good to see you again. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Lekker. Listen, there's lots to talk about in the news right now. Obviously, the Thabo Bester case is fascinating all of South Africa, and every single day something new comes out. Before we get to that, I know you work very closely with the case. Donovan Moodley, the sitting was yesterday, the review. What is happening there? What can you tell us?
All right, so in a nutshell, he got a life sentence in about 2005, which meant he should probably have only originally had a parole hearing in 2029. Then there were some constitutional court judgments, which affected a certain group of people who got life at a certain period in time. That they refer to the partial judgment. Long story short, that meant actually, instead of after 25 years parole possibilities, it was after 13 years.
Oh.
Yeah. So we thought 2029, and we found out quite suddenly that it was happening sooner. So yesterday was the second one. The one we held last year, he went to court and had it overturned, and the court said it has to be redone. So yesterday was actually a redo of last year, January's parole board sitting.
Wow. How involved are you?
So I was asked by the Matthews family, even before we realized that this parole date was going to be brought forward by 10 years. They said, look, we don't know if we're going to be around in 10, 15, 20 years' time. And they would like to prepare documentation that could be submitted on their behalf if they are not around one day. And would I be prepared to write an expert report? Okay. So I said, yes. And then, of course, as we're busy with this, I said to them, listen, I've just heard this parole hearing is happening now.
Are you serious?
And they'd been in contact with correctional services throughout. So how correctional services, on the one end, that they're communicating with, and the other hand, is going ahead with the parole hearing and not informing them. That was the first thing that just didn't make sense. But I can guarantee you, when it comes to parole, there's a lot of things that don't make sense.
Right? Yeah. Sorry, I'm being very presumptuous now. I think I'm way ahead of a lot. I'm presuming that everybody would know what we're talking about here. Donovan Moodley got the life sentence. You were very much, just in a nutshell, take us back to, how many years is it now?
I think it was 2004 when the incident occurred. And so Lee Matthews was a student at Bond University.
That's right.
It was in Sandton. Oh. And long story short, she disappears. And a few hours later, I think it was the day before her 21st birthday, or the day of her 21st birthday. Yeah. And her father that evening gets a phone call saying, you pay 300,000 rand, I've kidnapped your daughter. Obviously, they involve the police very quickly, and essentially it gets negotiated down to 50,000 rand. Rob Matthews, the dad, goes and does a drop-off along the highway, sort of old-fashioned kidnapping. We don't do that anymore. And expecting her to be released, and she wasn't.
She wasn't.
And then 11 days later, her body is found in Walkerville. And then it became this whole issue. And then, of course, Piet Bielefeld got involved, as you know, deceased Brigadier Piet Bielefeld. And Donovan was arrested about, I think, 3 months later. What he'd done with the money is that he'd spent it on his Ducati motorcycle, took his girlfriend on holiday, and bought her an engagement ring.
That's horrific.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
He murdered someone to spend money on a motorbike.
Actually, gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Hearing that. So he's caught. He pled guilty, which obviously is great when a suspect does that. But since then, he has had multiple court, because he then started studying law so he could actually deal with his own legal applications.
Are you serious?
He's busy with a master's in law.
What?
He actually said in his paper that I actually studied law so that I could deal with this because I don't have money for a lawyer.
What?
And he's had countless, five, six, seven court applications where he wanted to have his conviction overturned, because then he said it was actually three other people that did it, and then it went to, I was forced by three other people to get involved, to, I didn't do it, to, so he's chopped and changed. I think until that partial judgment actually happened and he realized, oh, my parole date isn't in 2029, then it's almost worth trying to get out of it, see what court cases. And suddenly it's brought forward and you can't go to the parole board saying I didn't do it. So now he's back to, I did do it.
I did do
but
it.
But his version of events is, compared to what he pleaded guilty to, which was his guilty plea, which he signed, was essentially like an execution killing. I took her back. I knew I couldn't release her. Went back to Walkerville, told her to get undressed so I could take the clothes for forensic purposes, gave her a blanket, and as she turned away from her back to me, I shot her in the back of the head and then shot her three more times.
Coward.
His current version is, I was going to let her go. And I was going to take the clothes for forensic purposes. I gave her a blanket to cover herself. And she panicked, and I panicked and I shot, kind of like an accidental shooting. Which is like, but that's not in your own version that you put in your guilty plea. You and also, this is what you're saying now. And of course, the in-between versions where I've said I didn't do it, it was other people, I was forced to. It's
like, you just reminded me now as well, I should also possibly just say that the subject matter would be sensitive. You know, if you understand what we're talking about here, the crimes, the criminals. You know, just a caution for sensitive listeners. Did he ever show remorse, by the way?
It's very difficult to believe that because you've chopped and changed your version countless times. Okay. I think the Matthews family counted. It's like 9 times that he's changed his version. And then last year, suddenly for the first time, he actually says, remember those allegations that I was at the crime scene, actually. So the body did not look like a body that had been deceased for 11 days.
Okay.
And out in the felt. So there was, and in the court, the judge said it was likely that someone helped him and that the body was kept in a cold place or a cool place. And there were police investigations in that regard that they couldn't take further. But he's now saying he left it out near a swamp and implying that that's the cold weather, it was winter, would have kept it in this pristine condition, which we had a forensic pathologist look at this recent version of events and say that's not medically possibly true.
You know, Professor, I listen to all of this and my gut feel tells me, I mean, because this is now what the parole board, I'm presuming, I mean, that's what the parole board will now be sitting on.
Yes.
Yeah.
They must now decide, should we release this person back into normal society or shouldn't we? Yeah. Right? And if you listen to all of this, I mean, what does your gut tell you?
No, because you clearly have not expressed, you're clearly still lying.
Yeah.
He's also being convicted in prison of twice with having cell phones, with having money, whatever else. He smuggled a recording device to record a conversation he was having with the parole board members. In his defense, he says, well, this is because I was proven that they're corrupt. So you somehow managed to get hold of a recording device in the prison, which you're not allowed to. And that's something that the parole board now commented on, saying, you know, you still have this, you've found guilty of a few offenses in prison since you've been here. Granted, they were up, 2012 was the last one that we know of.
Yeah.
And one of those defenses was possession of money. So clearly money is still a big thing for you.
Yeah.
The recording device, you're not allowed to have a recording device in prison. So how reformed are you when you continue to break the rules?
Oh, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Donovan Moodley parole hearing that took place yesterday. Yeah. Professor Gerard Labuschagne joining us on the show this morning. More coming up. Enige vrae, enige opmerkings, soos gewoonlik, jy is baie welkom. 084-850-0942.
Martin, you are the best. You are the best, Mr. Bester. A true community builder.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. 6-9 weekdays. Jacaranda FM.
There are a number of cases that keep coming in back onto your timeline. South African cases like the Donovan Moodley, Lee Matthews case. You've got the Oscar Pistorius case. Obviously now the latest one is the Thabo Bester case all over our timelines. We have Professor Gerard Labuschagne in the studio with us this morning. And he's dealt with these cases on various levels. The one we're just discussing now and we'll close in a moment is the Donovan Moodley bail application. The hearing, they sat yesterday with the parole board. How big is the parole board?
So the parole board itself, which is sort of the second body that decides on parole, you first got the case management committee, which is kind of the people that have been monitoring his progress over the years.
All right.
They can have like a mini parole hearing and then make a recommendation. That recommendation goes to the parole board,
All right.
Who then sits and does their own assessment and makes their recommendation. In the case of life sentence people like Moodley, it then also has to go to the minister eventually.
Oh.
The NCCS, National Count Something Something, which the minister kind of, I guess you could say, is kind of the last say on yay or nay.
Okay.
So the CMC decision and this decision is both relevant. The committee consists of a chairperson, vice chairperson, I think two members of the community, a representative from the police. And none of these people are professionals. You know, it's not like you have psychologists or criminologists or social workers sitting on these panels.
Hold on, I'm sorry, that
I remember last time we had this conversation, that's mind blowing.
But they will be making recommendations on, for example, here they said you must go for therapy for treating your love of money. So they'll make recommendations back Although that person is a layperson, which I find bizarre, because it's like me telling an orthopedic surgeon, you need to do this kind of operation on this guy's knee.
Is this standard practice in all countries?
I'm not sure. So there would have been the internal psychologist and social worker who do their own reports.
Sure.
They then get sight of that report. But if you don't have, I mean, I've looked at some of the, I'm not going to say which cases, but I've looked at some of these reports, and very often they are incredibly lacking in not only in the way they did the assessment, but the information they had to do the assessment. So in this case, like Donald Moody, the psychologist, didn't have the know that the versions had changed multiple times over the years.
What?
Which is an important factor.
And we were trying to introduce that, and we can't get the information to that psychologist.
It almost sounds like people like us can sit on a parole board.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
You can, as a member of the public, you can.
So we just apply and go like, yo, I
think
I
they
feel
advertise
like...
every now and then for people to sit on these, on
do they advertise
this? Correctional Services website, maybe?
And Facebook. Then you can,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. An SMS. Hey, do you want to come join us on this Saturday?
It really seems ridiculous because these are huge decisions.
Uh-huh.
I mean, absolutely. This is now... This guy is in jail for life, well, on a life sentence. Yeah. For murdering
kidnap
and murder.
Extortion.
What is a life sentence in this country?
Okay.
What is?
So that's often a misunderstood thing. So when a judge gives you a life sentence, it is until the day you die. The question is, will you be serving some of that sentence in the community on parole? And at what point? And that's why people often say, well, life in South Africa is only 25 years. No, life is till you die. Your first possibility of getting a parole, well, your first parole hearing would be at 25 years. And then kind of roughly every 2 years thereafter, you'll have another parole hearing, another parole hearing, another parole hearing.
So why is Donovan Moodley having parole hearings now?
So there were a group of people who, the law changed, but earlier on, up until the early 2000s, when you got a life sentence, the parole point was 20 years. Then it was changed to 25 years before you could be considered for parole.
Okay.
So you had a group of people who were, say, committed a crime in, say, 2001. They were caught or convicted eventually, say, in 2004 or 5. And before they were sentenced, the law changed. So when they were sentenced, the judges said, well, the new thing is 25 years for you.
Mm.
So someone went to court and said, but that's unfair because my crime was long before this change in the law was made.
Ah.
I was convicted before the change in law was made. I don't have control over when I'm sentenced, and yet I'm getting punished. And I kind of understand the logic to that in general, and the law kind of doesn't work retrospectively.
Mm.
And then that said, right, actually, okay, you will then, for anybody convicted or committed the crime before the changeover, you'll get the old. So if I get caught now for a crime I committed in 1999, a premeditated murder, maybe they finally link me to some murder, I can only get punished and sentenced to what was at the time, the kind of practice. So that's how they got from the 25 to 20. But then another person went to the Constitutional Court, I think it was Van Wyk, and said, but hang on, you know, we didn't get other people could get some discounts, like for good behavior and other things that you could get credits for.
Okay.
And because they weren't keeping track of the credits for the old school people, they said, well, we'll have to give everybody who fell under the same discount from 25 to 20 years, the maximum discount, which meant they actually were having their parole hearings after 13 years after a life sentence. And so it's like you're just benefiting and double benefiting.
Sure.
And of course, the families now have to suffer through more years of parole hearings, which is incredibly traumatic for any family.
Of course.
And let alone, obviously, in Donovan's case, he had multiple court applications, which, of course, are... Because the family still doesn't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
How many people were involved, and let alone where was Lee for those 11 days? Because medically, she was not lying out in that felt.
Gotcha.
So yesterday's parole hearing for Moodley, he was turned down.
Turned down?
He's not going to leave.
Well, that's the recommendation. It still goes to the minister, who then can make their own decision.
Oh.
So the CMC, that first body that makes the decision, said yes.
Yeah.
If I recall, and then the parole board, which is above them, says no.
Okay.
They said you don't demonstrate remorse, you're not truthful, etc., which I think was an accurate thing. You're threatened, you're continually threatened with legal actions with anybody that disagrees with you, that you don't like, you do that, etc. You had the legal recording of conversations with parole board members, which means you had somehow obtained a recording device, which is an offense in correctional services kind of circumstances. And like I said, he has to go for psychotherapy with a psychologist to address his abnormal love of money, which I don't understand. I feel sorry for the poor psychologist who's going to get... And I know a lot of correctional service psychologists, and they say, we get these recommendations back from the parole board that are nonsensical.
Yeah. Because the people making the recommendations aren't professionals.
Donkey to squiss, but
you need to go for therapy for your love of money.
Thank you.
Yeah, and he says your life sentence is due to an excessive love of money, which resulted in the murder of a victim.
Yes, that is a very professional sounding diagnosis right there.
So, we've got questions for you coming in. We also need to move on to two more cases. Mm. We need to chat about the Pistorius. Oscar Pistorius is up for parole, or the hearing, the sitting, is tomorrow.
Yep.
Op Vrydag. En dan ook, baie mense het baie vrae oor die Tabo Bester saga. Daai storie wat, I think it's all over everyone's timeline at the moment. Professor Gerard Lebeskagni in this morning. And we'll continue the chat with him. Any questions, welcome on 084 850 0942. Visit Durban this Easter and enjoy the renowned Golden Mile beaches, hiking trails. Shop international brands at Ocean's Mall in Mhlanga. Then delight your taste buds with some local cuisine. And gospel lovers can enjoy the joyous celebration Easter Mega Fest. The soon-to-be-introduced direct flights will make traveling easier for holidaymakers from Eswatini and Lusaka. With all-year-round warm weather, Durban is South Africa's playground. Warzad at Durban. Go to visitdurban.travel for more.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. Driving you to work every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m.